Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We have met today to worship our living Lord and to honor the life and memory of Mary Ruster, remembered as a godly, loving mom and grandmother and great-grandmother and sister and aunt and friend, but above every one of those, a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we have met here today to worship Christ. We have met here today to comfort our hearts in the reality of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and resurrection, has conquered both sin and death. And we're here, Father, to remember this life that has been lived in honor of Christ, in following Christ, in believing Christ, in honoring Christ. And Father, we just ask that you would go with family and friends who are gathered here, that there would be the peace which passes all understanding, garrisoning their hearts and minds, and that the hope that only Christ can give might be their hope even this morning. That truth and that reality, that because he lives, we shall live also. Father, we thank you that Mary knew the Lord as her Savior, and that just a few days ago, she was immediately ushered into the presence of her Lord and Savior. And so today, Father, may the reality of that truth comfort hearts and lives that sorrow, but not without hope, for in Christ we have that hope. We thank you for that, Father. We praise your name as we think of your grace in our lives. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary Tramper Ruster was 92 when she entered her heavenly reward this past Tuesday. She was at her residence with family at her side, and her Lord and Savior provided her immeasurable love, comfort, and grace. She was preceded in death by her husband of 58 years, Wayne Ruster, and a son, Ed Ruster. Parents, Jacob and Susie Tramper, sisters Ella and Cornelia, and she is survived by her sister-in-law Laura Ruster and many nieces and nephews, and her children Tom and Judy Ruster, Dick and Mary Ruster, Jane and Russ Rolfe, and Harry and Sharon Ruster. And she leaves a legacy of faith in Jesus Christ to her 17 grandchildren and her 32 great-grandchildren. Mary was born in Grand Rapids on February 23, 1920, to Jacob and Susie Coinga Tramper. Mary was a devoted wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, and she enjoyed traveling and was able to visit all or 49 of our 50 states, and was still traveling at the age of 90 with Harry and his family to various children and grandchildren. And she loved to read her Bible, to hear God's word preached, and she listened to her church's sermon every Sunday when she was even no longer able to attend in person. Mary's life was filled with joy and praise because of what Jesus Christ did for her at Calvary. And the great desire of her heart is for family and friends to know personally that Christ who died for her and provided her with that eternal life. At this juncture, we're going to call upon one of Mary's granddaughters to share with us in music. Sarah? Thank you. As many thoughts and reminiscences flow through your minds and hearts of this dear lady, this dear disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us hear the heavenly record, the Word of God this morning, to comfort our hearts. Mary herself chose this scripture that is the very word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John chapter 12 and verse 24. Where our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus, as he was mentioning that truth, recognized his own death would be that payment for sin, and that that death would usher in life for those who would trust him, and provide the power of the resurrection, as the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, to write years later in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 35, saying this, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" People were sneering at the idea of a bodily resurrection. The Apostle Paul gives the Holy Spirit's answer to that. "Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, to each seed its own body." It is a wonderful thing to think in terms of recognizing that Mary is right now with her Lord and Savior, and that one day, even this seed that we put in the ground will be raised to a new and glorious edition. The Word of God also instructs us in this way, that the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble, and they are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it. We recognize that also the Word of God says that being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. It was the Apostle Paul to the Philippians who said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, "For we know that if our earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And Jesus, the night before he died on the cross, said this to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." To troubled hearts in Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." May God give us that comfort from the reading of his holy word. May God also give us that assurance that we have in Christ. Mary had that assurance of eternal life, and let us sing of that assurance. In 572 of your hymnal, 572, we have a song that's simply entitled, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Let's sing together all three verses, 572. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased." Now allow the words and truth of one of the great hymns of Christendom, Amazing Grace, flood our souls as we play that song at this time.
It was almost 13 years ago that the Ruster family was gathered here in the same place to bury a father and a grandfather and an uncle. February 1999, I was privileged to be part of that service. That's when I met many of you for the first time, and really your mother for the first time. Almost immediately after that, she made the long trek Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to attend the church of which I have been a pastor, First Church in Grand Rapids. I've come to love very dearly Mary Ruster. As her health declined, her hearing worsened, her memory failed, I found it necessary to read scripture passages with her that were very simple and very familiar. And towards the end, the one I always used, among others, was Psalm 23, which I'd like to read and then reflect on a particular verse out of that psalm, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I recall a couple of weeks ago when Mary was in the hospital, I read that and I said, help me out. And she recited part of it, a line here, a phrase there, in the midst of her pain. I'd like to focus on verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This psalm is based on the experiences of David early in life as a shepherd boy. He had come to love and know intimately the flock of sheep which he shepherded, and he saw in his relationship as shepherd to his sheep a beautiful picture of the Lord's relationship to his people. Jehovah God is as a shepherd to his people. And so David, by inspiration, wrote this psalm. The first verse is the theme. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a personal confession that David made, and I hope that everyone here can make it as well. The Lord is my shepherd. And therefore, David went on to say, therefore I have no want, I lack nothing. And David proceeds in this psalm to touch upon various aspects of a shepherd's care that the Lord provides for his people so that they have no lack. He provides rest for his people when they are weary, just as a shepherd provided for his sheep. He cares for his people when they are sick, even as a shepherd cares for his sheep. And he protects, the Lord does, his people as they pass through the valley of the shadow of death, even as a shepherd did for his sheep. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. We are those who are passing through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, that's not just true this morning. It's not just true for the Ruster family this past week. That's true for us all every day of our lives. And often we don't think of it that way, but there are times when the Lord brings that reality right squarely before us, especially when he takes a loved one in death, as he has this week. Death can be a very frightening experience for those who are dying, and for those who witness the dying of a loved one. Those fears are overcome, however, by those who belong to Jesus Christ and find in him a faithful shepherd. Those who belong to Jesus find that as they pass through the valley of the shadow of death and finally meet death itself, they're not alone, but they have a faithful shepherd, the Lord, through Jesus Christ. They're comforted by his rod and his staff, which is his word, and they are able in Jesus Christ to overcome the fears of death and to be comforted. Let's see how that's true as we examine this particular passage a little bit more in detail. This verse is based upon a common experience of every shepherd in Bible times. Especially in the heat and of the summer, the shepherds had to lead their flocks up to the higher elevations where there was pasture. And that required that they lead them through deep, dark ravines. And this was dangerous. There's where the lion and the bear and the wolves and the hyenas lurked, waiting to grab one of the flock. It was there that the thief could come and snatch away a sheep. But the sheep were not afraid as long as their shepherd was with them. They came to know their shepherd and trust their shepherd as one who loved them and cared for them and always defended them against the dangers that lurked in these dark valleys. Especially they were comforted by his rod and his staff. Sometimes those were two different kinds of sticks. The rod was a club with a knobby end and sometimes nails driven partway into it, to use to club any wild animal that would come and threaten the herd or the flock. The staff then was the shepherd's walking stick with a crook where he could gently pull back his sheep if they tended to wander away. Sometimes that rod and staff were the same instrument, but it was a great comfort to the sheep as their shepherd guided them through these deep, dark ravines with his rod and his staff. Now David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sees in this a picture of the Lord's care for his people. He speaks here of the valley of the shadow of death. Our whole life is really a passing through a deep, dark valley. And it's called the valley of the shadow of death because at the end of our life is death, with all of its horrors and all of its fears. And this death casts a shadow over all of our lives. By the way, this death is not just physical death, but without Jesus Christ and without the shepherd, this death is also the eternal death of hell as proper punishment for our sin. But it casts a shadow over all of our lives so that our lives are filled with many evils. Physical death, which came to Mary Ruster this week and will come to all of us if the Lord tarries, is really a process. The aging process is really death working in us. We get sick. We have debilitating illnesses. We have lack of energy. That's all death working in us. And it brings many tears and sorrows and fears. And there are many other evils that we face in life because of sin that brought down the curse of God upon the earth. Poverty, strife, war, and the list is endless. Our life is compared to passing through a valley upon which death casts its shadow. And we are very much aware of that reality today, aren't we? We've seen death cast its shadow, Ruster, in the form of memory loss. It's interesting, a few years ago, Mary Ruster showed up all dressed in her Sunday best for church on Saturday. Then we knew something was happening. Went to visit her. We made sure we didn't bother to arrange it a few days ahead of time because it would be forgotten. We called the day of. And then as a pastor and as our elders, we would visit her and leave with this hollow feeling that even though we had an enjoyable time with her in the Word, within a couple hours, it's all lost. Death working. She had chronic pain in her abdomen, which worsened and worsened. I don't think I will ever forget the scene of her a couple weeks ago in the hospital, just writhing in pain, asking, when is the Lord going to come? When is the Lord going to come? And there was cancer. Since Christmas, we have seen death approaching, and finally it has taken away her earthly life. As a result, Mary suffered a great deal, and the family has too. David indicates that the Lord accompanies his people as they pass through the valley of the shadow of death, even as a shepherd accompanied his sheep through the deep, dark, and dangerous ravines. Notice that David speaks here of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And that name is really, in the original, Jehovah. I am. That's a special name of God that attaches itself especially to his covenant. The Bible speaks repeatedly of God's covenant. And if we want to know what that covenant is, we ought to think of marriage, because God ordained marriage among us as an earthly mirror of the covenant relationship he has with his people. It's an intimate, close bond of love and fellowship that binds him together in friendship with his people. And in that covenant, in that spiritual marriage of love, God provides for all the needs of his people through Jesus Christ. He goes to the cross, pays for their sins, secures their salvation. Then he draws them to himself by the power of his word so that they know the salvation of God in faith and they live with him in friendship and fellowship. That's the Lord. That's Jehovah. And in that covenant relationship, Jehovah God lives with his people and provides for them in such a way that, well, just like a shepherd provides for his sheep. In fact, God created that beautiful relationship to mirror his relationship with his people in Christ. That's why here in this psalm, Jehovah God is called shepherd. That's why also Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come in our flesh, says, I am the good shepherd. Jehovah God in Christ is the shepherd of his people. And that means that everyone who belongs to Jesus is one of his sheep. There were especially two things that characterize sheep in relationship to their shepherd. First of all, they knew and recognized the voice of their shepherd. It was common at night for different shepherds with their various herds to group all the flocks together in a common fold for protection. And these sheep would all mingle among each other. And it was amazing that even in the dark of night with no light, every shepherd knew his sheep so intimately that he could go in there and find his sheep. But then in the morning, each shepherd would call out his sheep by name. And those sheep would recognize their shepherd and they'd follow him. Wherever that shepherd would lead. That's true also of the true sheep of God. They have faith. A God-given faith in Jesus Christ. so that they know him as their Savior. They know him as a shepherd. And they know Jehovah God who sent him as a shepherd. And they know his voice. When the voice of the shepherd comes to them in the word, this word as it's preached, this word as it's studied, this word as it is brought to each other in the fellowship of the saints, they recognize that's the voice of my shepherd, and they follow him. When he calls them, come, you're a sinner, come to the cross. In my perfect death and sacrifice, there's salvation for the sinner. And when he calls them, they come, and they find his salvation. And when he calls them from the cross, he says, come and follow me. I have a life of service for you in your marriage, in your family, in your church, in your community. They follow him as he outlines their life of responsibility in the word. Mary Ruster was one of those sheep that belongs to the flock of our Lord Jesus Christ. She had faith in Jesus as her Savior. She knew Jesus Christ as her shepherd. When Jesus spoke to her through the preaching, she knew it was her shepherd and Savior. And she sought that word. She was in her 80s, well, upper 70s, all the way from Lamont, coming all the way across town to the church she grew up in to worship, to hear the word, twice a Sunday, into her 80s. She drew like Jehu. We were a little concerned about her. But she came. And then was she going to come no more? She sat and listened to the service over the phone. She loved the word of the Lord. And she followed the Lord as he called her to the cross. She was aware of her sins. She readily acknowledged them. More than once we went to the cross. And then she followed the Lord from the cross to a life of service. Not as a perfect sheep. There's none here perfect. But she was a faithful wife, a faithful mother, who taught her family the ways of the Lord and prayed much for her family. And so, as Mary Ruster passed through the valley of the shadow of death in her long life, she didn't go alone. She was accompanied by her Savior, a faithful shepherd. We said, as the great shepherd, the Lord and Jesus Christ has rescued his people from the terrible punishment of death and obtained for them eternal life. He did that through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus on the cross and on the third day. The result of that perfect sacrifice of the shepherd is not this, that we no longer suffer physical death. We do. It doesn't mean that we are free from passing through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't. We must pass through it, and we do. And Mary did. But because Christ died on the cross, secured the salvation of the flock that God had given to him, the Lord goes with them. Jesus goes with them, caring for them, guiding them by his word, which is his staff and his rod. And he brings them surely through all the dangers of life. Brings them to eternal glory. With the power of his word, by his word, he as a shepherd with a staff, guides his sheep. And when one starts to stray, he hooks it and says, no, come back here, you're going the wrong way. And you must go this way.
does that through the power of the word. And when one of his sheep becomes obstinate and rebellious, then the Lord can use his word as a club too. And he can drive his sheep back. Shame on us if we have to be that way. But surely, Jesus, by the power of his word, leads his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death, through all the dangers, keeping them safe, and then brings them finally to eternal life in heaven. And that's why the sheep don't have any fear as they pass through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not true, of course, for those who do not belong to Jesus and do not have him as their shepherd. If you don't have Jesus as your shepherd, you pass through the valley of the shadow of death basically alone. Oh, you've got help from the medical field to take care of your illness. You've got insurance. You've got the government safety net. Sort of takes away the bite sometimes of what you have to deal with as you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, but ultimately there's no solution if you're going alone through the valley of the shadow of death. All you can do is live in fear and die in despair. Should there be any of those who do not know Jesus as their shepherd, who are not following him through this valley of the shadow of death, turn to him. Own him as your shepherd. But for those who have Jesus as their shepherd, well, their fears are subsided. We don't have to fear for Mary Ruster. She is one of the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. As her shepherd, the Lord has accompanied her throughout her earthly pilgrimage, kept her safe, brought her safely through the valley of the shadow of death, and brought her to her eternal reward in heaven. You know, I'm not surprised anymore, but I've never ceased to amaze that when one of the sheep of God becomes physically weak and loses almost everything of this life, they become so strong spiritually. That was true of your mother. Weak physically in pain, strong in faith, knowing her Savior, looking forward earnestly to go to her eternal home, and the Lord has brought her there. We don't have to be afraid for her, and if we know Jesus as our shepherd, we don't have to be afraid for ourselves. This is almost an interruption in our lives, isn't it? A loss. Death never comes at a convenient time. Two sons had come back from Florida. Always interrupts. And now life is going to go on without mother, without grandmother. But it's going to be a life that continues traveling through the valley of the shadow of death. But in Jesus Christ, we find a great shepherd who cares for us and guides us safely, infallibly, by the power of his word. Let's look to him as true sheep, and let us in confidence travel on, looking for the day when we can join those who have gone before into eternal glory. May God bless the family.
For a believer in Jesus Christ, as Mary is, the scripture says that they may rest from their labors. Listen to this song that is entitled Rest in You.
Fragrance poured out at the highest cost, and alive, heaven's holy offer draws each weary soul unto a cross. I will rest in you. I will rest. Just when this race is over, but in these earthly moments too, I will rest in you. You give me hope. Shining every moment like Eden's dawn upon the sea. And you give me peace like the gentle breezes that brush the snowy flocks on hills of green. I will rest in you. I will just when this race is over, in these earthly moments too, I will rest in you. Oh. In you, I will rest in you, not just when this race is over, but in these earthly moments too. Just when this race is over, in these earthly moments too.
That my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. Then without my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold and not another. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness,
which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Unto the mercy of Almighty God, we commend the soul of our sister departed, and commit her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection from the dead, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. In just a moment, I'm going to call the pallbearers to come up, and we will remove the casket from the auditorium. And then you will be dismissed to have a time of fellowship and food right behind me in the activity center. The quickest way to get there is right through these doors, right past the organ, and you are certainly invited to do that. But right now, let us close this service of memorial and this service of worship in prayer to our living God. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our great and holy shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one who has gone on before and conquered death, and now shares that victory with us. And through his death and through the shedding of his blood, has paid for our sin, that it might be truly cleansed and forgiven. And through his resurrection, provided that means in which both sin and death has been conquered. And so, as we have come here today to say goodbye, we hope that it is not goodbye, but just so long for now. Because in Christ we are all united together one day in his presence. What a glorious day. And we take the earthly remains and commit them to the ground, knowing that they will be raised to a glorious new addition, with bodies that will not grow tired or weary or be subject to pain or disease. And so, Father, thank you for that hope that we have in Christ. Bless this family. Give comfort. Give direction to each one that's here, that we sorrow not as those who have no hope, for we do have hope in Christ. And then, Lord, we would pray that you would bless the time that follows this service, this time of fellowship together, bless that. This time of partaking of food together, bless that, Father, to strengthen our bodies to serve you. And Lord, again, thank you for this life that has been lived as a testimony to Jesus Christ. We commit her to you, the great shepherd of our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the pallbearers, please, if they would come on the front.
Is going to be held today. So we'll just ask if you, the rest of you, will just remain seated here until we dismiss you.
Our song shall rise to thee.
In love.